Hello and welcome to another episode of Your Intention Matters, the podcast. My name is Paul Madat. Thanks so much for taking the time today to join us on this one. I have John Blake. He is Director of Sales at Gemini Legal coming to us from, John, is it Northern Cal or Southern Cal? Where are you at right now?
Northern California, just north of Sacramento.
Northern California and Sacramento. Well, John, listen, welcome. Say hi to everybody and provide a quick intro.
Yeah, hi, I'm John Blake. As he said, I'm Director of Sales with Gemini Legal. And just happy to be here and be able to share my story of how I've come up in the sales business. Hope it helps some people.
Well, John, I appreciate the time here. Let's get into it. I want to start with, as you know, the title of the podcast is called Your Intention Matters. And that's really, as we've been speaking about, that it really is built on the foundation that nothing's really given to any of us. And everything we have starts with mindset and intention and a vision. And then you go and put together an action plan, and you can't really hit your wagon to anybody and just coast along and big decisions along the way. And I do want to start with 2020 and how you've been doing personally and professionally, because this is a year that it's been just one for the books on a number of different levels. And so I'm curious, how's business? How's your family? How are you doing in California? Depending on the coverage that I get, sometimes I hear it's a hotbed, sometimes I hear it's a hoax. And so, you know, how are you doing all things considered as we move into September here?
Luckily, I'm out in the kind of rural, not quite rural, but suburban anyways, California. So we're a little away from most of the hotbeds that you find in the cities. A lot of what hit, as far as COVID goes, hit LA and hit San Francisco. And also down in the Mexico border, I'm sure, as everybody's heard. Yeah. But so personally and family-wise, we're doing well. Business-wise, of course, it threw a wrench in just about everything business for everybody.
Yeah.
And for me, it kind of opened my eyes on what my career was as well. So really interesting time.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to you sharing your story. You ready to roll here?
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. So let's go back to, am I saying this right? Is it Quinnipiac University?
It's Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac. All right. Very good. So Quinnipiac, business management, marketing, related support services. When did you graduate? And do you recall any type of thoughts around where you thought you might be in 2020?
No idea where I was going to be in 2020.
Of course not.
The one thing I will say is I never did graduate. So I did go to Quinnipiac, also went to Southern Connecticut State University. Knew I wanted to be in sales. I'm one of those few people that knew very young that I wanted to be in sales, and wasn't feeling like I was getting anything out of school except for, you know, I had a really good ping pong and billiards game that I got out of college, but I wasn't getting anything that was helping me get into sales. And I felt like I needed to get out there and get into sales. So actually stopped going to college and got into sales.
You know, I appreciate I appreciate the transparency there, John, because you and I are cut from the same cloth. I was in economics, and university college for me was a means to an end. And I, man enough to say, I didn't graduate either. And yeah, it just wasn't for me. And I ended up, you know, wanting to work pretty quickly. And looking back at it now, I think, well, maybe I should have just taken that experience, because what was the rush? But at the time, it wasn't for me. And say, okay, so you decided to not complete your education. And so any pushback from family and peers at the time around that?
No, I'm the only one in my family that didn't graduate, and there's six kids. Okay. But I didn't get any pushback. My peers, I didn't really have too many peers that were in a similar position as I was, so that didn't get any pushback there either.
Okay.
It was more me out trying to find my own way. Right.
And so where did you land? What was your first, I guess, career, your first job, once you decided that I'm going to work for the rest of my life, this is what I'm doing here?
Yeah, so I figured I wanted to be in sales, and I thought that, you know, people that did financial sales made a lot of money, and that sounded really good to me. So I went out and got Series 6 license and decided I wanted to sell mutual funds. At the time, I was 20 years old. I was driving a Dodge Omni.
I know that car all too well, for sure.
I looked about 13 at best. And for some reason, I thought that people would listen to me when I gave them a financial advice. And it turns out that was a pretty quick career, that one there.
Hey, John, when was this? Do you remember what year it was?
Give or take? 1988.
So 88. Okay. So it's funny. So 88, you know, when you say Series 6 license, it takes me back. I'll date myself here a little bit. It takes me back to the Boiler Room movie days of the late 90s. When Ben Affleck is talking about to the guys in the interview who has a Series 6 license, and this one kid raises his hand like he's hot stuff, and he goes like, "You can get out of here."
Exactly. Right.
All right. So you tried to do that. It didn't work out for you. Was that a long process? Was it disappointing? Was it an easy transition? And what happened next?
It was not a long process, but it was pretty disappointing. You know, I thought that I could sell just about anything out there, and getting out there and sitting down with people and trying to give them advice, couldn't really build much of a pipeline, couldn't build that following quickly. And it was pretty disappointing, but I knew I still wanted to be in sales. So I went to a recruiter and they were taking a look at what they had. And they said, you know, you don't have a college degree. You're too young. Go on this interview and wear a nice suit.
Interview where?
Southern New England Telephone Company.
All right, now we're getting into it. Okay, now we're getting into some old school stuff here, John. Okay, I like it. Okay, so
so I go to Macy's, I buy my first nice suit, blue pinstripes.
Got it.
I go into this interview, and it's for Yellow Pages advertising sales job. And do my darndest on the interview, interviewing with this guy named Harry, older guy. Real jokester, and I'm sitting there and I'm doing my best. And he goes, "You know what? You're probably not the right fit for this, but I like you, kid. I'm going to put you through to the next interview." And he did. And I remember telling him at the end, in the beginning of the interview, he said, "Why should I put you through?" I said, "Because at the end of the year, end of the first year, if I'm not in your top two reps in the company, go ahead and fire me."
Got it.
Yeah. Just get rid of me. And so he said, after the interview and after I got through, he said that was the one thing that got me through, which was kind of neat.
Interesting. So the confidence of, hey, I think I can do this. And if it doesn't work out, you have carte blanche to do what you want, but give me a shot and I'll prove me right.
Yeah. And I ended up third.
Third. Okay.
Out of, I think there were 75 reps. So I ended up third after my first year, made President's Club, went back over to Harry and said, "Listen, Harry," and he wasn't my boss, but he was a manager. "So listen, Harry, I told you top two. If I didn't make top two, you could get rid of me. I actually ended up third. So if you want to fire me, I won't ask any questions." And he laughed. It was pretty funny.
And so your time at Yellow Pages, was it short? Was it long?
20 years.
20 years.
Three companies.
Like literally 20 years?
Literally 20 years, three different companies.
Okay, so talk to me about your decision to stay under the same umbrella for that length of time. And you must have had options along the way. And so like, why hang out for so long under the same umbrella?
I was pretty fortunate. I ended up moving a number of times and doing some interesting things in the business. So didn't feel like it was the same job for 20 years. I think I would have, you know, gotten driven out of it. I was able to do some startup work and start up some new telephone directories and help start up a business in Georgia and Alabama. Was able to do the same thing down in South Florida and then got moved back up to the Northeast. So I'm originally a Connecticut boy. I think that is what kept me going. I did it started a bunch of different sales organizations and trained a bunch of salespeople, and mm-hmm. it stayed interesting because I kept on moving from place to place and you know, almost starting new businesses every time, which was a lot of fun.
You know, I can appreciate that, where it's not the same job for 20 years, but rather multiple jobs, different experiences. It sounds like you got to travel a fair amount as well, and that would add another element to the experience overall. And so your 20 years there, was it your decision to move on, or was it theirs?
Probably a little of both, and okay. and a lot of what was happening in the industry. So obviously there's no more Yellow Pages anymore to speak of. I remember I was in Boston. I was running 60 sales reps, all of New England, $42 million a year in revenue. And they asked me what my projection was going to be for the next year as the internet was coming in strong. And I told them what my projection was going to be, and they said, it can't be that. And I said, well, I've been doing this for a while. I'm pretty sure I know where it's going to end. And I said, I'm doing everything I can, but that's where it's going to be. And they said, that's not an answer that we can bring back, John. And so kind of saw the writing on the wall on that, got demoted right after that, not surprisingly. And then they had an opening in California, which is where my wife is from. And she wanted to get back to. And so was actually one of the last people that got moved, got the whole corporate move and moved to Northern California to start up, which was more fun for me anyways, to start up a couple of new directory and areas out here. But I got out to California and took a look at it and went back to them and said, listen, there's already a number of phone books in the areas that you guys are thinking of starting up phone books, and nobody's using the ones that are there.
Right.
So it takes 3 years for that business to get profitable. And 3 years from now, there's not going to be a business. And they said, John, you know, that's why we moved you out there. I go, yeah, I know. And at the same time, I got a phone call from an old friend of ours that said, hey, John, are you still in Yellow Pages? What are you doing there? There's this business called Westlaw, which does legal research for law firms. Would you at least come take a look at this thing? And so I didn't really choose to get out of it. I didn't make a conscious decision to go interview with this other company. I got referred into it and just kind of fell into the legal space.
You know, John, the scenario when you were demoted must have been a tough thing mentally after so many years of success and bandwidth and production. And then all of a sudden, okay, wait a second. I can see what's happening here. This is not me not being able to do the job, but the industry's changing and maybe we're not changing with it. And they go, well, sorry to hear that, but so we're going to demote you. Talk to me. How'd you take that?
Terribly. It was one of the hardest things that I had to go through as a leader, doing everything that I can, sales team that likes me, you know, good processes, I thought, you know, really, really going at it hard. But the outside, you know, I figure it's like Kodak, right?
Right.
You're with Kodak, you do film, all of a sudden everybody's got a camera on their smartphone. Nobody's using film anymore. What happens to the managers of the sales teams that were doing film sales?
Right.
It's kind of the same thing, right? So they didn't need anybody in these positions. And I saw the writing on the wall but it still didn't make it feel any better. And I got a phone call from somebody who was my manager at the position before that, who was a VP. And he said, hey, John, I just want to let you know, this is not you. This has nothing to do with you. You're a great leader. Please take this to heart. And that was probably one of the phone calls that I appreciate most in my life. Was that phone call that came from a guy named Bob Cusick.
Well, that was great for Bob to reach out electively and kind of set you straight mentally on that. But now you're in Northern California and you have a new career in front of you. Did you know anything about West Legal? Did you know anything about that industry? Like,
So in Yellow Pages, the number one category that was advertised in the Yellow Pages was lawyers. So as a very young kid, I got good at selling to lawyers because that's where the money was. So I was kind of known as the lawyer guy, which is why this guy thought of me as that for Westlaw. So I knew how to call on law offices, I didn't know anything about legal research. I didn't know anything about legal software. I didn't know about their business processes. What I knew was how they should advertise in a phone book. So very, very different. But I said, you know what? I can learn all the other stuff. I got to convince them that, number one, I can go from management back into sales, which took some convincing. And number two, that I could learn the process of what lawyers do and what tools they need to do it.
Now, they were acquired, were they not, by Thomson Reuters?
That was before I got in there. Yes, it's a huge organization. Okay. 40,000 people worldwide.
Got it. Okay. So under the Thomson Reuters domain, so to speak, new career, how long did that last and why'd you move on from there?
So I was with Westlaw for 3.5 years and very successful, President's Club a couple times, doing great, but didn't see any opportunities to move up, and I wanted to get back into leadership at some point. The other thing that I saw is, if I'm going to make real money, I need to call on large law firms, and I was calling on small law firms. So I said, you know what, I want to get into enterprise software sales. So invited the VP of sales to ride with me for a day out in the car, and finagled into getting him to come out from Minnesota to California to ride with me in the car. And when he did, I told him, he asked me, so what are your career goals? I said, well, it's probably not to be here.
And how did he receive that answer?
And he said, well, what do you mean? And so I told him, and he said, well, I don't want to lose you from the company. There's two other divisions in the company that you might want to look at. How about I give you some referrals to the presidents of those divisions? Which was fantastic. And he did. And I ended up going to a division called Elite, which sells the financial systems for the largest law firms in the country and in the world. So I got into enterprise sales, selling, you know, more of the financial systems. So how they do their billing, front office, back office.
Okay. All right. And so your decision to move on from them was around when? When did that happen?
So I was there for 3.5 years. That's, and so I stayed with Thomson Reuters. I went to Elite and I was there for another 3.5 years.
Eight, and 9 years, give or take?
Yeah, I was there 8 years.
Okay. Total. So 8 years. Okay. So another pretty healthy run.
Yes.
Right. With the, again, different jobs, but the same family of companies.
Yep.
And so, difficult decision to move on? Was it easier this time? What was it like?
I kind of was looking for the next step in my career and didn't see it there. And got approached by another company that was also in legal software sales out of Pennsylvania. And they did time entry software, outside counsel guideline software, and time entry goes right into billing. So right in my wheelhouse, still calling on a number of the same size law firms and the same law firms I was calling on. And so it was a fairly easy transition, and they offered me, you know, more salary, signing bonus, possible upward mobility, and maybe future stock option. And so I said, you know what? Worth it. No downside. Let me give it a shot.
And where was that?
A company called Bellafield.
Okay.
And they got bought out by a company called Aderant.
Aderant. Okay. And this still allowed you to live in Northern California?
Allowed me to live in Northern California. Sales territory was Chicago down to Louisiana and west.
A few more air miles. A few more air miles. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of air miles.
Okay.
Mostly just major cities. So a lot of LA, a lot of Chicago, you know, a lot of Seattle, all major cities. But like you said, a lot of air miles, built my network of legal contacts, and really tried to expand that and move into a larger position, but I wasn't willing to move to Pennsylvania. And I saw the writing on the wall that said, hey, if you're not going to move to Pennsylvania, there's no way you're going to be VP of sales, president of sales. you're going to be pretty much doing what you do. Also saw that they were going to, the person who started that business started one right before that. And after about 5 or 6 years, sold it to Thomson Reuters.
Oh, all right. So, okay.
And I saw the writing on the wall on this one, she's going to sell this business. And I felt like it was going to be fairly soon. And I said, I don't want to be here when that happens. And I got another offer to be a director of sales for North America for a company that sold SAP, which is the financial systems for the largest law firms in the world. And they were out of Chicago. And I said, you know what? That's where I've been trying to get to all this time. So that was what I was driving towards all this time, was getting back into that type of a position, back into that type of a company. Perfect. It's exactly what I want. But left Bella Field, they sold 2 weeks after I left. So I wasn't that far. It was closer than I thought to when they were going to sell. And it's funny when you think you know exactly what you want and you get it, it's not what you wanted in the first place.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you how you ended up at Gemini Legal, because I know when we were just speaking before we, hit record here, I know that you're still relatively new there and in the middle of a pandemic. And did you find yourself out of work this year at all, or no? Okay.
No, I didn't find myself out of work at all. So I start this job in Chicago, fantastic company, really great people. Can't say enough good things about them, but I was having to commute every week from California to Chicago. So talk about airline miles, right?
Yeah.
And then when you go see customers, you're also flying there on top of it. But I thought I was going to have to go to Chicago probably 1 or 2 weeks a month, and it was ended up being every week. So it wasn't what I thought it would be. And then COVID hits. Everything that I had in my pipeline and in our company's pipeline got
slashed.
Like you wouldn't believe. And this is SAP. So this is multi-million-dollar software, big law firms. And there was nothing that was going to close this year, from my estimation, unless something drastic happened. So it really was a big wrench in the whole thing. I still would have done very well. I still think I would have done very well long term. But when COVID hit and I was stuck, staying at home, I have a 14 and a 12-year-old son, a wife that I absolutely adore, and I'm at home with them, and I'm like, I miss them.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something more important than having that job that I always wanted and, the title and the prestige and the money and, the guy that picks me up at the airport in the Escalade and drives me to the office that I know his name, all that stuff. And maybe there's something more important. At the same time, almost as I'm thinking that, I get a call from a recruiter out of Denver that says, hey, there's an opportunity I want to tell you about. Are you open? And I said, well, I'll listen. And he says, yeah, it's this company called Gemini Legal. They're in California. I said, where are they? He said, they're in Rockland. And I'm like, in Rockland? There's no legal company in Rockland. That's like 30 minutes from my house. And he tells me about the company, and it turns out they're 30 minutes from my house. And, 20-person sales team, mostly small business sales, right? So they're lots of sales, but small. Legal services, and back to running the whole sales organization. I came in and met with the owner and the president over here and absolutely loved them. And it just fits my life a lot better. And I'm enjoying what I do so much better.
I was just going to touch on that. It's funny how, 2020, hard year for a lot of us, and if not all of us, quite frankly. But there are some companies who are flourishing. There are some companies who aren't going to make it at all. And, you kind of have to manage that, so to speak. But I dig what you said around the fact that there's the positive out of this is that you realize, hey, wait a second, I don't have to be like Clooney and up in the air and have a million air miles and do that. That you miss your family, and there is some power there. And then if you can find a job and still earn and still live a lifestyle that you want, and it happens to be half an hour from you, then why not take it? Especially after everything that you've experienced in your life up until this point anyways.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, I really enjoyed leading a team and teaching people how to sell. And that's what I really enjoy about the job. And it's a very green sales team with not a lot of structure. So I was able to come in, put structure on it, and really be able to teach people how to sell to lawyers. None of them had sales training.
Right.
So this has been so much fun for me to go back to my roots of, you know, really being a sales coach and a sales trainer, as well as building the structure of how I'd like it to run and the culture that I want to build and all of that, and have the freedom to do it. So that's been an awful lot of fun for me.
Well, John, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us today. I've had a lot of fun listening to your story. It's fascinating. 20 years, 8 years, and COVID hits, and then you realize, no, there is a diamond in the rough there, and you seem quite content. Early days at Gemini, but you seem like you're pretty good where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, John, I always like to end with asking anybody who's a guest on the podcast, if there was one piece of advice that maybe has been given to you over the years that has worked, anything you might want to share to anybody listening?
Yeah. And I actually posted this the other day. I got into this coffee chat with some folks that do sales in the morning, and they do it every morning, and I was invited to join them. Not my team, but a group of salespeople. And what they were doing was they were getting their mind in the right place in order to make phone calls all day and do emails all day and try to get a hold of people.
Mm.
And I think that is just so important, especially right now, is to find that a group of people that are doing something similar to what you're doing, that have similar goals to what you have, and talk on a very regular basis. They do it every morning, which I think is perfect.
Right.
They can get their head in the right place. One of them said, you know, my goal is to make 180 phone calls today. Well, as you know, making 180 phone calls,
you're not talking to anybody.
That's a rough gig. You know, you're hoping you talk to somebody. You're making 180 cold calls. Your head's got to be in the right place.
Yeah.
And so to hear these people give that encouragement and that, you know, just be in the same place, give the same encouragement. I think that's incredibly important. So if there's one thing I would say is get with your community, or if you're not in a community, get in a community that can help your head get in the right place for what you need to do, especially during COVID.
Let's wrap it up with that one, John. Very well said.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. All right, everybody, let's wrap this one up again right now. Remember, your intention matters. Why? Because that's the result you'll tend to get. We're out of here, and we'll catch you again next week. Be safe, everybody.